Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachas Daf Tzadi Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. On Daf Tzadi Zayin, in our previous shiur, we encountered Shitas Rabbi Meir at the bottom of Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph. He made a comment there regarding Amos, a unit of measure, and he said there, Kol Amos Shehoyu B'Mikdash Bei No Nios Chutz Mimizbeach Hazo V'Akirin V'Sovei V'Hayesoid, that all of the Amos in the Beis HaMikdash were of the Beinoni dimension. We understood up till now that the Beinoni dimension is 6 tfachim, 6 handbreadths, that would add up to an Amo Beinonis. The Gemara here asks how many tfachim in fact are in an Amo Beinonis, and that is found in our Gemara on Daf Tzadi Ches Omer Aleph, 7 lines from the top, where we begin our shiur today. The Kamo Amo Beinonis, in our topic heading in the outside margin, under the title No Say, we've written Shiur Amo Beinonis is one point that will be discussed, and a second point, Amos Noisophos Shehoyu Bamikdosh, other kinds of Amos that were in the Beis HaMikdosh. So after the Gemara asks how big is an Amo Beinonis, the Gemara answers, Omar of Yochanan, Shisha Tfachim. There are 6 Tfachim that make up an Amo Beinonis. Omar of Yossi Bar Oven Af Anan Nami Tanina. We have a Tanaic source that supports Rabbi Yochanan's explanation. Rabbi Yochanan explained Shitas Rabbi Meir as an Amo Beinonis containing 6 Tfachim. We have a Tanaic source in which Rabbi Meir appears, Rabbi Meir Omer, HaShulchan Orkoi Shneim Osor V'Rochboi Shisha. Rabbi Meir mentions that the table that held the lechem upon him had a length of 12 tfachim and a width of 6 tfachim. It's very important to point out that the Torah makes mention of the Shulchan dimensions. It mentions there, though, in Amo terms. It mentions that the length is 2 Amos and the width is 1 Amo. So in this source you see Rabbi Meir describing that which the Torah says. Let us say, let's pick on the width of 1 Amo. Rabbi Meir says that is 6 Tfachim. So you see that the Amo Beinonis that Rabbi Meir made reference to on Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph at the bottom, where he said all the Amos of the Beis HaMikdash, with a couple of exceptions, were Amo Beinonios, and the Shulchan being included in that category of all the Amos of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, you see that Rabbi Meir says, like Rabbi Yochanan explained, that an Amo Beinonis contains 6 Tfachim. By referring to this Amo as Beinonis, this implies Michlal Dehavyo Amo Dinafisha Mina. It implies that there was an Amo that was greater than 6 Tfachim. And therefore, the Gemara is asking, is that really so? The Gemara answers, in Disnan. It is true there is such a phenomenon of an Amo that's greater than 6 Tfachim. And the following Tanaic source contains this information. You can see we have a frame around the next several lines. As we've seen already, these are Tanaic sources. In our marking system, we frame off Tanaic sources to distinguish them from the rest of the Gemara literature. So in this source it says, Shtei Amos Hoyu B'Shushan HaBira. The expression Shushan HaBira is a reference to a room that was located above the eastern entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. And in this room there were the following. There were 2 Amos. Amos, we can call them measuring rods. like we would say, a ruler that measures an amo. So there were two amo measures over there. Achas al keren mizrochis tzoinis, the achas al keren mizrochis dromis. One was on the northeastern corner, and the other on the southeastern corner. Sha'al keren mizrochis tzvainis yisera al shel Moshe chatzi etzba. The one that was at the northeastern corner was greater than the amo of Moshe Rabbeinu, which we would, let's call the standard amo, by a half finger width. Chatzi etzba, half finger breadth, greater than the standard amo. So far we are describing, in fact, a larger type of amo. So this ruler would measure 6 tfachim plus a half etzba. She'al keren mizrachas dromis, the one was on the southeastern corner of the Shushan Habira, hoiso yisera oleho chatzi etzba, was greater than the former one by another half etzba. Nimseis yisera al shel Moshe, it would then come out that this second greater amo was greater in size than the Moshe amo by a full etzba. Just to go over what we've learned, there's the standard amo of Moshe, which is 6 tfachim. There is one that is slightly greater by a half etzba, and there is another one, a third amo, that's greater than even that one by another half etzba, accounting for an amo that is greater than the Moshe one by a full etzba. The Lama Omru Achas Gedoilo V'Achas Ketano. Why is it that we have larger amos and smaller amos? Kedei Shiyu Ha'umnin Noitlin B'Ketano U'Machzirin B'Gedoilo Kedei Shelo Yavo Lidei Me'ilo. So that when Umnin, these are workers that were hired to do work for the Beis HaMikdash, and they were paid with Beis HaMikdash funds, with holy funds. If one benefits incorrectly or unfairly from holy funds, he will be in violation of Mi'ilah. Mi'ilah is the violation of benefiting from that which is holy. So that as to ensure there would be no benefit that a worker, let us say, would get paid for work that he did not do, the following arrangement was made. The worker would be hired to do whatever work was necessary, that work that was measured by units of measure, let us say by amos. Let's say you had a worker that was hired to lay stones of several amos in length. So he was hired and asked to do his work according to the smaller amo measure. So let us say he was hired to work to pave 5 amos of stonework. He was shown that he has to do 5 amos according to the Moshe amo length. When it came to getting paid for his work, they would measure his work using the larger amo measure. In other words, the worker, if he wants to get paid for 5 amos of work, he'll have to add a little bit to each amo than that which he was hired for. That way, as Rashi explains, the worker would have to, let us say, pay out of his pocket for a little more than he was hired to work for. If we turn to the Rashi to see how he explains this, we look at the Rashi. Kedei shi umnin noitlin biktano shohaya gizbar. The gizbar is the person in charge of the funds of the Beis HaMikdash. Masne im umnin kach v'kach amos binyan tivnu leberek habayis. Thus and thus amount of construction work you will construct for the temple maintenance. B'kach v'kach domim, according to such and such rate per amo, be'amo shel Moshe. And he was hired to work, let us say, 5 amos of stonework according to the Amo Shel Moshe standard. Umachzirin lo, and when it came to paying the worker, machzirin lo lemidas Amo Gedoy lo shiyasero lo etzba. They would measure the amount of work he did using the larger Amo that was an etzba, a finger breadth greater. Kedei shiyosifu al tano mishelahem, so that the worker would add a little bit more than he was hired for. Shelo yifchisu, so that there would be no doubt about him doing any less. V'nimtzu ne'nim min hamikdash yoseh mimash osu, if he would do any less than he was hired for and get paid for the original agreement, then he would be getting paid for work that he didn't do. Uboin lidei me'ila. So by this arrangement, we were ensuring that the worker would have to stretch a little bit, so to speak, adding a little more from out of his own pocket, and thereby preventing any me'ila violation. So far, what have we described? We've described the hiring of the worker with the basic Moshe Rabbeinu Amo, and then at the time of reimbursing the worker, or paying, compensating the worker, we had a larger Amo for establishing how much he did. The question is, why do we have two additional larger Amos? Vitarti Lomali. Answer, Chada lekaspo vedavo, one is for those that do work in silver and gold, v'chada lebinyona, and the other is for masonry. And the reason for that is that when it comes to this idea of the worker adding a little bit from his out of pocket, when coming to gold and silver, those are very expensive items, so that to have him add a little bit more, we don't expect him to add too much more. Therefore, the standard is a half etzba more than the Moshe Rabbeinu Amo. Whereas when it comes to masonry, where the amount, the cost of materials is not nearly as great, we expect him to add even a full etzba more than he was hired for. Tnan Hosom. Shar HaMizrach Olov Shushana Biro Tzura. The eastern gate had above it a form, a carving or a form of the Shushan. Shushan was the name of a city in Persia, Shushan HaBiro. This image of Shushan that was over the eastern gate is what's featured in this source. And the Gemara asks, "My Taima, what in the world do you need to have an image of Shushan Habira over the gate of the Beis Hamikdash?" So Rav Chista, Rav Yitzchok Bar Avdimi. Before we go further, you'll note that we have a double underline, and that's to highlight these names. They will appear later in a piece of Gemara discussing a pasuk in Yecheskel, and the only reason they appear there is because they're mentioned over here. So, as far as the purpose of an image of Shushan HaBira, which is represents the castle of the castle or the monarchy of Persia, what is it doing in the Beis Hamikdash? So you have these two Rabbonim, Rav Chisda and Rav Yitzchok, Chad Omar Kedei Shiyedu Mehechon Bo'u, so that they should know from whence they came. In other words, the second Beis Hamikdash was built with the license of the Persian government, and it's felt that one should know from where they came. When they returned from the Babylonian exile, they returned with the under the authority and with the permission of the Persian government. And Rashi explains that this reminder will cause them to give thanks to the Malchus. As Rashi says, V'yiru mehechon bo v'yitnu hoido la'malchus shotziom misham, and give thanks to that kingdom that enabled them to leave there and come back to Eretz Yisrael and build the Beis HaMikdash. V'chad Omar, back in the Gemara, the other Rav says, K'desh te'emas malchus aleihen, so that they should have the fear of the government. After all, at that time, the Persian Empire ruled the entire region, including Eretz Yisrael, and it was important for them to have a reminder who the true authority was. And they would have this, literally, the fear of the government upon them. Amar Rav Yanai, the Oilam Tehei Emas Malchus Alecha. Rav Yanai says it's always important for a person to have the awareness and fear of the ruling authority upon him. Shinemar, we have a number one over here because there will be another source for this idea. But the first source involves Moshe Rabbeinu and Paro, where Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Paro about the upcoming redemption and exodus from Egypt, including the Makas Bechoros, and it says in the, and he says, Moshe says to Paro, the king of Egypt, V'yordu kol avodecho ele elai v'shtachavu li lemor, and he said prophetically that all of your servants are going to come and bow down to me and beg me to leave Mitzrayim. In this pasuk, Moshe Rabbeinu says that all of your servants are going to come beseeching me to leave Mitzrayim, when in fact he was really saying you will come to bow to me and beseech me to leave Mitzrayim. However, he doesn't say that. He refers to Paro's servants. Remember, he's talking to Paro, and he doesn't say you. He doesn't speak in the second person. He speaks about the others. Your servants will come and beg me to go. V'ilu l'dide lo ko'omale, but directly to Paro he did not say, because this is a function of Moshe Rabbeinu showing his fear or his honor that he bestows to the monarchy. At that time, Paro was in control. So he didn't say directly to Paro, you will come and bow down to me. That wouldn't be respectful. Rabbi Yochanan Omar Mehocha, the idea of Emas Malchus Alecha, one can see from the following Pasuk Shinemar, V'yad Hashem Hoyse El Elio, V'yashane Smosno, V'yorotz Lefnei Achov, Ad Boacho Yisraelo. This Pasuk describes the prophet Elio HaNovi, running in front of Achav. Achav was mounted on a horse, and he was alone at that time. Achav was the king, and he wasn't known to be a positive figure. In fact, he was known as a major idol worshiper. And nevertheless, because he was the king, and there was no one else around, here the great prophet Elio HaNovi, honored Achav by running ahead of his horse, serving as a type of guard or an accompanier of the king, which is a sign of respect. So you see from here the concept of Emas Malchus Alecha, the awe that one is to have regarding the ruling authority. The pasuk in Yechezkel, the Alehu Letrufa, describes a stream that in the future will emerge from the Beis HaMikdash, and along this stream there will be trees that will grow, and these trees will be of very special nature, so much so that even the leaves of the tree will have healthful attributes. The Pasuk says that the Aleu, its leaves, Litrufa, will be of medicinal value. Rav Chista v'Rav Yitzchok bar Avodimi, they look at this word Letrufa as an abbreviation, as what's called in Hebrew a notrikon, and explain, each one offering his own opinion. Chad Omar, Lahatir Pe Shelemala. The word Letrufa, you see, is alluded to in this phrase, Lahatir and Pe. That's Letrufa. Notice, as we say, you can break the word down. It's an abbreviated expression whose fuller meaning is lahatir peh shelamalo, to open the mouth of the upper part. V'chad omar lahatir peh shelamato, to open the organ that is below. This is in fact elaborated on immediately. Itmar nami chizki omar Lahatir pe ilmim. This aleph that we have above Chizkiah corresponds to the p the Aleph, just the line above where it said Halbahatir Peshalamala. Fiske is explaining the Peshalamala is one's mouth. Ilmim is muteness, so that the leaves of this tree will heal those who suffered previously from muteness. Bar Kapora likewise corresponds to the second opinion, just the line above, and which said Lahatir Peh Shalamato. Bar Kapora elaborates and says Lahatir Peh Akrus. Akrus is reference to a woman who is incapable of bearing children. So the leaves of this tree will solve her problem of barrenness. At this point, the Gemara features a long Tanaic source, and in our markings, in addition to the fact that the Tanaic source is framed off, there are also diamonds that appear. Let us glance in the outside margin. We have our Nosei Mivneh heading. We feature a diamond, and they are Shlavim, stages, Lahazbir, to explain Hapirut Bapsukim Hametarim Sidur Lechem Haponim. We are going to try to explain the necessity of the level of detail that appears in the psukim dealing with the lechem haponim. The psukim that we will be referring to are written on the inside margin of our Shas Ozer Gemara. We've noted Vayikra Chof Dalet and indicated in parentheses the lechem haponim, and we've cited psukim Hei and Vov. So before we learn the Gemara, let us take a look at the psukim. Let's read the psukim together, and it says Vilokachto Soiles V'Afisa Oisa Shteim esrei chalois, shnei esroinim ye hachalo ha'achas. The pasuk says that you'll take flour and bake it into 12 loaves, each loaf containing 2 isoron. The pasuk vov says, v'samta oisom shteim arochos sheisham areches al ha'shulchan hator lefnei Hashem. And you will place 2 stacks, each stack containing 6 loaves in it, on the table that is in front of the Almighty. So in these psukim we have references to 12 halos, 2 stacks, and each stack having 6 halos. The Brisa now analyzes what would have been had all of had there been missing some of the detail. What erroneous conclusion would I have reached? So we see the Brisa with the diamond beginning Ilu Nemar, had the Posuk said Velokachta Solis Rafisa Oiso Shtei Mesrei Chalois Vesamta Oisom Shtayim Ma'arochois Velo Nemar Sheish, and had left out the Sheish that's featured in Posuk Vov, in the second Posuk that we cited. Hoyisi Omer, I would have thought Achas Shel Arba V'Achas Shel Shmoina, that true, there are a total of 12 loaves, and true, there are 2 stacks, but I would have thought that one stack can have 4 and the other 8. 4 and 8 would equal a total of 12. I would have 2 stacks. L'kach ne'mar sheish, therefore it's necessary to add sheish, that the 2 stacks must have each one 6 in it. The Ilu Nemar, had the Pasuk said Shtayim Marochos Shesha Mareches Velo Nemar Shteim Esrei, had the Torah written 2 stacks and mentioned Shesha Mareches and not mentioned 12 as a total, Hoisi Omer, I would have looked at this Pasuk and said Shalosh Shel Sheish, that in this Pasuk there's a reference really to 3 stacks with 6 loaves in it. And how do you come to that? Well, the expression Shtayim Arochos, I would have said, accounts for 2 stacks. The expression V'Sheish HaMarechos accounts for a 3rd stack, and in each one 6. Lekach ne'mar shteim esrei, that's why it's imperative for the pasuk to add 12, and as Rashi says, 12 means 12 and no more than 12. Ve'ilu ne'mar shteim esrei chalos u'ma'arochos v'lo ne'mar shteim v'sheish, had the pasuk made reference to 12 loaves and stacks and not mentioned the shtayim in posuk vov, you see shtayim and the word sheish, hoyisi oimer, I would have said shloisha shel arbo arbo, had the posuk said 12 loaves and ma'arochos, I would have thought that it means that you can that you're supposed to have a total of 12 loaves in stack form, and that would be three stacks of four loaves each. 3 times 4 is 12. But that too is not accurate. Lekach nemar, therefore, you have to add shtayim and shesh. In other words, shtayim meaning only 2 stacks, not 3, and shesh meaning 6 in each stack. Ho ad shelo yomru shlosh mikros halolu lo lomatnu. Had the without these three references in the pasuk, these three separate references that we've illustrated with our diamonds, and the you notice we have these dashed underlined expressions along the way. The first one was lekach nemar sheish, and then lekach nemar shteimisrei, and lekach nemar shtayim v'sheish. Without these three details, I would have come to an erroneous conclusion. Ha ketzad, so what is the correct result? Noisein shtayim arochas, we place 2 stacks, shel sheish sheish, each one having 6 loaves. The im nosan achas shel arba v'achas shel shmoin, if one stack had 4 loaves and the other 8, lo yotza, you have not fulfilled your lechem haponim requirement. Shtayim shel sheva sheva, what about 2 stacks, each one having 7 loaves in it? Rebbe Oimer, royen es ha'elyoino ki ilu eino. Rebbe suggests that it wouldn't be a violation, it wouldn't be possible, it wouldn't be void, simply because we look at the upper extra loaves as if they're not there. The Gemara asks, how can Rebbe say we just view it as if it's not there? Isn't there a requirement of having the lavona? The lavona was a spice that was placed in a container, a bozich. There were 2 of these vessels, 2 bozichim, each one containing a measure of lavona. The lavona was burnt on the mizbeach on Shabbos. That was the offering of the lechem aponim to the mizbeach. The lavona was offered, and the lechem aponim were distributed. The lavona was placed on the stacks. That's at least what we think. The pasuk talks about v'nosata al hamareches. You would place on the stacks the lavona. But if you have the uppermost loaf being considered extra, as if it's not there, so isn't the lavona that's placed on top of it or within that that loaf, isn't there a problem of a chatzitza? In other words, a chatzitza is an interposition. The expectation is, at least at this point, that the lavona is placed on the necessary loaves. If you tell me that the upper layer is not necessary, so it's blocking the contact between the bozichin and the mareches and the stack on which it is supposed to be touching or and sitting. So that's what the Gemara asks in this rather in this brief question. The ha bo'inon v'nosata al, is there not the requirement of the lavona in the bozichin being placed on the stack? And if you say that the uppermost the 7th bread at the top there is simply viewed as if it's not there, is it not in fact serving as a chatzitza, as an interposition? Omar le Rav Chista Rav Hamnuna v'Amri lo, another version of the names is Rav Hamnuna le Rav Chista. Rebbe le Ta'amei, Rebbe at the end of this of the long source who said we just view the top one as if it's not there, Rebbe is consistent with what he has said elsewhere. In other words, Rebbe is not bothered by the chatzitza problem, very simply because Rebbe l'tamei d'yoma al besomuch. The word al in the posuk v'nosata al hamareches, where you're supposed to place the bozichen al, it doesn't mean on top of at all. It means next to. So that the uppermost loaves, those extra 2 loaves, we view them as if they're not there. So that you are able to fulfill your requirement of 12 loaves forming the lechem aponim. The 2 extras, just in our mind's eye, viewed as if they're not there. As far as any problem of interposition is concerned, the bozichon are not supposed to be on the loaves in the first place. They're placed on the surface of the table next to the loaves. The word al in the pasuk meaning next to. Tesanya, the following Tanaic source shows this as Shitas Rebbe, Rebbe Omer, Venosata al Hamareches Levono Zaka. This is the pasuk that was just referred to in an abbreviated fashion to the line above where it said Venosata al. Here, as you see the pasuk in its fuller quote, that you shall place Venosata al Hamareches, that's the has to do with the stacks of bread, Levono Zaka. And Rebbe says al equals the Samuch. Ata oimer al besamuch. Are you saying that the word al means besamuch o eino elo al mamish? Maybe it means on top of, as is the standard translation of the word al. So to that we respond, kishu oimer v'sachoisa al ha'oron es haporoches. The poroches is a curtain, is a mechitza, and the oron is the holy ark containing the luchos. And the pasuk says v'sachoisa al ha'oron es haporoches. What does that mean, that the curtain was al ha'oron? Heveomer al besamuch means next to the oron. The curtain wasn't covering the oron, the curtain was next to the oron. And here you see, as we've indicated with our markings, we dashed underline the word al in the posik v'sakosa al, so you can see that the word al is clearly translated as next to as well. And hence, with regard to the bozichin of the Lavona, they were never expected to be placed on the stacks, but rather next to the stacks. Before continuing in the Gemara, let's take advantage of our nosei topic heading in the outside margin. Kol ha-kelim be-beis ha-migdash, all of the vessels in the beis ha-migdash, orkon le-oirech ha-bayis. Their lengths were placed according to the length of the Beis HaMikdash, Chutz Meha Oron, with the exception of the Oron HaKodesh, the holy ark containing the Luchos, containing the Ten Commandments, She Orkoi Munach L'Rochboi Shobayas, the length of the Oron was placed in the width of the Beis HaMikdash. The Oron measured 2 amos in length, and it was placed, the length of it was placed north-south, because the length of the Beis HaMikdash was east to west. The width was north to south. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a brief or an illustration provided by our impressionist artist that you can see on the inside margin. We refer to impressionist artwork because of the fact that it's the impression that the artist has of what needs to be illustrated. Of course, it goes without saying that the illustrations that we provide in our shasos are not to scale. They are merely here to illustrate a particular point. So if you look at this picture, we'll call this an aerial view. You see the shulchan is positioned in the northern part of the Heichal, and its length is parallel to the length running east to west. The menorah, likewise, had its length, it was a 7-branched candelabra, and its length was positioned also east to west. The Oron, on the other hand, that sat in the Kodesh HaKodoshim, its length, you'll notice, is running north to south. The north to south is the width of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, turning to the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan, Kol HaKelim Shebemikdash, Orkon LeOrko Shel Bayis, all of the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, their lengths were placed parallel to the length of the Beis HaMikdash, Chutz Me'oroin, with the exception of the Oron HaKodesh, She'orkoi L'rochboi Shobayis, V'kach Hoyo Munach, V'kach Hoyo Badov Munachim. Thusly it was placed, and thusly are its poles. This last expression is a little vague, and therefore the Gemara asks, My Ka'omar, what is the connection between the placing of the Oron and its poles? Hochi ko'amar. Thusly, we should understand this source. Kachoya munach, the Oron was placed like that, in other words, its length according to the width of the Beis HaMikdash, midekach hoyu badov munachim. because the poles that were attached to the Aron, they were there for carrying purposes, without getting into any actual details of how it was carried, and there were in fact miracles that accompanied the issue of the carrying of the Aron, but for our purposes the poles were associated with its carrying. And since the poles were attached alongside the width of the Aron, as you can see in the illustration, therefore the Aron was placed in the Beis HaMikdash in this fashion. Namely, its length according to the width of the Beis HaMikdash. There will be further explanation as to what is accomplished by this whole setup as we go on in the Gemara. Ubadov minolon. From where do you know that the badim, that the poles, are to be set up like this? In other words, that that we want to ensure that the poles are running east-west. As we said just a moment before, because of our interest in the poles running east-west, it was necessary for us to set up the Aron in its length running according to the width, parallel to the width of the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara wants to know, from where do I know that the poles shall be running east to west? Desanya, the following source appears. Before going further, we should mention that, and you can see this in the diagram, there was a curtain that separated the Heichal from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and it's called Poroches. So if in fact we are interested, and we'll show through the sources, that we are interested in the poles coming into contact with that curtain, it will therefore be necessary to set up everything as we have illustrated with the Aron's length parallel to the width of the Beis HaMikdash, so that the poles will be running east-west. So from where do I know that the poles are to run east-west? Desanya vayarichu habadim. The poles were long. Yochol lo yu nogim baporoches. Could it be that they won't have contact with the poroches? Tamud lomar v'yeiro'u. Before actually going on, we should glance at the side of our Gemara, the inside margin, and read a pasuk together from Melachim, from the Book of Kings, Melachim Aleph, Perek Ches, Pasuk Ches. It says there, "Vayarichu habadim v'yera'u roshei habadim min hakodesh al pnei hadvir, v'lo yera'u hachutza v'yu sham ad hayom hazeh." So this pasuk in Sefer Melachim is describing the placing of the Aron with its poles in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and it's having contact with the curtain separating the Kodesh HaKadoshim from the Heichal. So the Brisa so far, we've read the first line of it, and the question was, should one consider that maybe the poles don't touch the Poroches? So Talmud Lomar v'yera'u. They are visible. The poles are visible. The only way for the poles to be visible is if they're in contact with that curtain. If the pasuk is so interested in the poles being visible, does that mean that slits are torn in the poroches so as to enable the poles to protrude? Talmud Lomar, lo yera'u hachutza. They are not to be visible from the outside, from when in the heichal. Well, ha'ketzad, so how do you accomplish their being noticed and not being visible? So the Gemara answer, the Brisa answers, dohakin uboltin b'paroches. They are touching and pushing, so to speak, on the curtain, and protruding or their visible bulging. We'll say there's a bulge in the curtain from, if you're standing, let's say, on the other side of the curtain. In the Heichal, you'll notice at the point opposite the poles are bulging out. However, no slits. The doimin kamin shnei dode isha, and giving the impression of the breasts of a woman. Shenemar, the pasuk says, tsror hamor dodi li bein shodai yolin. Bein shodai yolin has to do between the breasts. The point is, this imagery is to serve as a description of how the poles appeared when one was standing in the heichal, looking toward the direction of the curtain. In the direction of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Uminolon, we've squiggled underlined this word Minolon simply to draw your attention to the fact that another Minolon question will be asked very shortly. We have two questions concerning the details of the poles. Uminolon de Badov, the Pusya de Oron Havu Yasvi, Dilma Liorko de Oron Havu Yasvi. From where do we know that the poles were set up along the width of the Aron? We have an illustration here too on the inside margin where you can see the poles. They're referred to in the picture as by the word bad, the singular for badin. And the pole is attached to the Aron alongside the width of the Aron. And hence the question is, how do we know that that's the way it's supposed to be and not perpendicular, in other words, not the opposite, where the poles would be along or parallel to the length of the aron? Answer: Amar Rav Yehuda, Trei Gavri, Be'amso Palga Lo Mistigilahu. The aron was carried by four individuals, two in front and two in back. Now, the two individuals stood side by side between the poles. Each individual had a pole on his shoulder. In order for there to be enough room for two people to walk side by side between the poles, if the poles were set up parallel to the length of the aron, you would have only a space of 1.5 amos between the poles. Two people do not fit into a space of 1.5 amos. In order to have enough room for two people to stand side by side, you need to have a space of 2.5 amos. And in order to accomplish that, the poles were placed alongside the width of the aron. The dimensions of the aron are, as you can see in the illustration, it was an amo v'chetzi rochbo and amosayim v'chetzi orko. The orech, the length, was 2.5 amos, and the width was 1.5 amos. Uminolon de ba'arbo havu doru luhu. From where do we know that four people were used to carry the aron? The word doru is to carry. Dichtiv, the pasuk in describing the original carriers of the aron in the midbar upon leaving Egypt after the Mishkan was constructed, it says v'nosu ha-kehosim. That's a plural expression indicating trei. The kehosim, the people from the kehos family, would carry the aron. Nosei hamikdash also appears in the pasuk, which is also in the plural, which equals trei, another two. So the pasuk makes reference to four carriers of the mikdash. The mikdash, in this case, a reference to the aron. As we go on in the Gemara, we encounter a new marking. We have a diamond that's, well, in effect, divided between two lines, so it may appear as a triangle, but in our markings, when the diamond is split between two lines, we draw it like you can see. We have two Tanaic sources, and on the outside margin, under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we can see what is expected. We have a diamond featured, and they represent Shnei Braisos Hamalamdos Al Eser Shulchanos and Menoros. The two Braisos, each one talks about the first one talks about the 10 tables, and the second Braisa, 10 Menoros Shaosa Shloimoi, that the king Shlomo HaMelech made, v'heichon hoyu munochem, and where were they placed? The double underlining, as you can see in the sources, features the expressions asora shulchanos and eser menoros. So that up till the time of Shlomo Melech, there was the standard singular candelabra, and singular, namely the menorah, and singular shulchan. And comes along Shlomo Melech, and he makes replicas of these, 10 of each, so that you'll in effect have 10 replicas plus one original. Tanu Rabbanan, Asara Shulchanos Asa Shlomo HaMelech. 10 tables were made by Shlomo the king. Shinemar Vayas Shulchanos Asara, he made 10 tables. Vayonach Behechal, Chamisha Miyamin, Vachamisha Mismoil. 5 to the right and 5 to the left. Now, what do we mean to the right and left of what? The im toimar chamisho miyamin ha-pesach, the chamisho mismol ha-pesach, if you'll say 5 were to the right of the entranceway and 5 were to the left of the entranceway, well, when you're looking at the when you're looking at the Beis HaMikdash, and let's say you're walking from east to west, you're walking in toward the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So, to your right would be the north, and to the south, to the left would be the south. The entranceway was positioned at midpoint, so that if you say that this pasuk, when it says to the right and to left, is a reference to the right and the left of the entranceway, so then you'll end up having part of the Shulchanos in the north and the other half in the south, and that cannot be. The Shulchan is restricted to the north, and that's what this Brisa goes on to say. Let's read again from the dashed underline where it says V'im toimar chamishim min ha-pesach v'chamishim mismol ha-pesach im kein motzinu shishulchan bedorom. If you set it up like that, what, like that suggestion, namely 5 to the right of the doorway and 5 to the left of the doorway, you'll end up having shulchanos in the south. As we mentioned, the door was positioned at the midway mark, so 5 to the south, more accurately say 5 to the left, which in effect would be in the south, that would be no good. In Cain, Motzinu Shishulchan Bedorom, Vatoru Omra Vashulchan Titain Al Tselat Safon. The Pasuk instructs us to make sure that the Shulchan is in the northern part. Ella. So, how do we understand 5 to the right and 5 to the left? Ella Shomoshe Be'emtza, Chamisha Mimino, Vachamisha Mismoiloi. All that the right and left were referring to the original Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan, so that the extra ones that Shlomo HaMelech made are described as being 5 to the right of his Shulchan and 5 to the left of his, of the Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan. Tanu Rabbanan, Eser Menoros Oso Shlomo, Shnemar Vayas Es HaMenoros Azov Eser Kemishpat Vayitei Ba'echal Chamishim Min V'chamishim Mismoil. The Pasuk describes Shlomo Melch making 10 menorahs, and 5 were to the right and 5 were to the left. And we now go through the same exercise with regard to the menorahs as we did just above with regard to the shulchanos. Now you say here 5 to the right and 5 to the left. V'im tomar chamisho miyamin ha-pesach chamisho mismol ha-pesach. If you suggest it means 5 to the right of the entranceway and 5 to the left of the entranceway, and as we said before, the entranceway was positioned at the midway mark. Im kein motzinu menorah betzafon. It will then come out that the menorah, you'll have menorah in the north. Vator omra v'es menorah nochach ashulchan al tzela hamishkan teimona. Teimona meaning in the south. The Torah is insistent on the shulchan, on the shulchanos being in, on the menorah being in the south, in the southern part of the heichal. Elo shel Moshe be'emtza, chamisha mimino v'chamisha mismolo. The words right and left were references to the Moshe Rabbeinu menorah, with Shlomo HaMelech's 10 being divided, 5 to one side of it and 5 to the other side of the Moshe Rabbeinu menorah, and not with respect to the entranceway. There are two brief Tanaic sources that are quoted here referring to where these where these tables and menorahs were located. Tani Chada, one source says, Mechatsi Bayas V'lifnim Hoyu Munochim. They were placed from the midway point of the Heichal and inwards. Inwards, when we say inwards, we mean in the direction of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Tani Chada, Mishlish HaBayas V'lifnim Hoyu Munochim. The other source says they were positioned from the one-third way mark inwards. In other words, not in the outer third. And the source just before is saying not in the outer half. And the Lokashya, these two sources are in fact not contradictory. It's all a matter of perspective. Mar Kochoshev Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim, Kodesh HaKadoshim, Bahadi Heichal, the second source that indicates a third, he is taking into consideration the Kodesh HaKadoshim together with the Heichal, more Lo Kochoshev Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim Bahadi Heichal. The first source that spoke about half was not taking into consideration the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Now, before going on, let's take advantage of our scheme in the inside margin to explain the Gemara we just learned. So we have an aerial view of the Heichal and Kodesh HaKadoshim. And you can see that the term Kodesh HaKadoshim has been written in the upper part of that scheme. Again, this is an aerial view. We've indicated the east and west. You can see at the bottom of the diagram east, that's the entrance to the Heichal. You can see on this diagram where the Shulchan and Menorah, where they are located. The two sources are in total agreement, just that the source that spoke about that the Shulchanos and Menorahs were located on the inner half is not taking into consideration the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You can see we have the number 40. 40 is represents 40 amos. The length from the entranceway till, and not including the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was 40 amos. So the outer 20 amos did not have Shulchanos and Menorah in it. The source that spoke about that the Shulchanos and Menorahs were not positioned in the outer third, but rather in the, we'll call it the second third, that is when you view the Kodesh HaKadoshim together with the Heichal as a singular unit. Therefore, and in such a case, how would you describe where the Shulchanos and Menorahs are located? You would say, not in the outer third. And that should be clear from the picture. Let us turn back to the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source. Before going on in the Gemara, let's glance at our topic heading in the outside margin, the Nosei. In this Gemara, we will show a Machloikis Tanoim, a Tanaic controversy between Rebbe and Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon, the Eze Kivun Hoyu Munochim Shulchanos Shel Shlomo. In which direction were the 10 extra tables, the replicas that Shlomo HaMelech made? One opinion will say Orkon, the length of these units were set up le'orech ha'heichal, in parallel to the length of the Heichal. And the length of the Heichal is mimizrach le'marov, from east to west. The gomir mimenorah. And the precedent for the Shulchanos being set up like that is by virtue of learning from the menorah, which was positioned from east to west, at least according to this approach. Then there's a second opinion that says Orkon mitzafon ledorom, the length of the Shulchanos was placed from north to south. And this idea of the length running north to south, the gomir mi aron, the precedent for that would be the aron. The aron's length was also north to south. This we discussed in the previous Gemara. In the upcoming Gemara, we'll see a couple of geometric forms, and you'll notice a house form which features the word gomar, and we just made reference to it, that meaning from where do I learn the point regarding the Shulchanos. So we have the house around gomar, following which you see the word mi menorah, and then later on gomar mi oron. Let's now turn to the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan. Mizrach umarov hoyu munachin. The shulchanos of Shlomo were positioned east to west. Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, Omer, Tzofon, Vidarom. They were positioned north to south. My time all the Rebbe. What's the basis for Rebbe positioning the shulchanos east to west? In other words, the lengths of the shulchanos are running from east to west. The gomar mi menorah. He learns from the menorah. Ma menorah mizrach umarov. Just like the menorah was east to west. Af hani nami mizrach umarov. So too the shulchanos were placed like that. Umenorah gufa menolan. From where do you know that the menorah was running east to west? Answer, midichtiv bener maravi. From the fact that the pasuk describes the western candle as follows: Yaroich osoi aharon v'cholei lifnei Hashem. The word oso is in the singular, and that's a reference to the western candle. Michlal de kulu lav lifnei Hashem. The expression lifnei Hashem is a reference to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Kodesh HaKadoshim, as we saw before in some illustrations, was in the western part of the Heichal. So you want to have this. There was one candle facing that was called Lifnei Hashem, one candle that we would describe as in the west. The rest were not facing the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In other words, they were further removed. They were east, more easterly. The Yisakadayt El Tzofon V'Dorom, if you were to think that the menorah was set up running north to south, the branches of the menorah running north to south, then Kulhu Nami Lifnei Hashem Ninu, then they all would be easily described as Lifnei Hashem. Because if the candles are running north to south, then they're all facing the west as well. So that they're all facing the west, not just one of them. But since the Pasuk says Yarocho, so only one in the singular, the others were not facing the west. Hence, only one was facing the west. The rest were more easterly. That shows us that the menorah's length was east to west. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, my time. What's the basis of his opinion regarding the shulchanos running north to south? Answer: Gomar me oron. He learns from the oron. The oron's length was north south. Ma oron sofon vidarom avhani nami sofon vidarom. So too the shulchanos are to be placed north south. The Rebbe Nami Ligmar Me Oron. Well, why doesn't Rebbe learn from the Oron? Why doesn't that serve as his precedent? Answer: Donin Chutz Mi Chutz. I prefer to derive Chutz is the Shulchan from the menorah, which both sat in the Heichal. The Heichal, relative to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, to the Holy of Holies, is called outside. Chutz. The Ein Donin Chutz Mi Bifnim. And I'm not going to learn unlikes. In other words, I'm not going to learn the shulchan which sat bachutz, meaning in the heichal, from the oron which sat bifnim in the kodesh hakadoshim. For Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon, who learns from the oron, while ligmar mi menorah, why not learn from the menorah, which up till this point was running east-west? Omar Loch, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon surprises us with the following: Menorah gufa tzofon v'dorom havimancho. The menorah itself was running north south. V'haksiv, but you'll ask Yaroch oisoi aron ubonav. Well, you might ask, but that pasuk describing the ner maravi indicates only one was facing was opposite the west, the lifnei Hashem. And if you have the menorah running north-south, then they're all Lifnei Hashem, not in the singular. The answer to that is, Demitzadeh Lehu Atzdudi. The Mitzadeh Atzdudi has to do with something being bent inwards, or bent facing something. We'll explain this in a moment. Let's continue in the Gemara. Desanyo. The following brisa explains this concept of mitzade luatzdudi. The pasuk says, "El mul penei hamenoro yoiru shivas haneirois." Melame. This pasuk teaches us shehoyu mitzadedin pneim klapi ner emtzoi. the six branches, three on one side, three on the other of the middle stem, these branches, the three and three, were tilted inwards, facing three and three, both facing inwards toward the middle branch. And the middle branch, it was facing the Ma'arav. So that, in fact, you do have this idea of a singular candle, the middle one, facing, bent toward the Ma'arav. With the others facing it, the middle branch. So that, in effect, like you can see in the Gemara's illustration that's printed in the Rashi, you still do preserve this idea of a singular one facing west, and that being, in this case, the middle branch. The Rashi, right under the Gemara, Mitzade Luhu Atzedudi, Rashi says, Le'olam Tzafon V'Darom Manchi. All of the candle of the candles were placed. They were placed north south. Vafilu Hachi Lekalachad Klapei Marov. And even so, there was only one that was truly facing west. Vahainu Emtsoi. That's the middle one. Shepi Hapsilo Klapei Marov. The rim of the Pihapsila, the wick, if you will, was facing west. Sharp silos mitzos pian klapi emtsoi. The rest of the candles were facing inwards toward the middle one. Shigimel shel tzad sofon mitzos klapi dorom. The gimel shel tzad dorom mitzos klapi sofon. The three in the north were bent, face tilted, facing south, and the three in the south were tilted, facing north. Continuing in the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mikan, from here we see She'emtsoi Meshubach, that the middle one is of special significance. This comment is really out of context insofar as the Emtsoi Meshubach is a reference to the reading of the Torah on Mondays and Thursdays. In reading the Torah, there are to be read a minimum of 10 psukim. Let us say you have 10 psukim, and you have three people that receive aliyos to the Torah. Each aliyah is a minimum of 3 psukim. So these 10 psukim would be divided, 2 aliyos getting 3, and 1 getting 4. From this description of the menorah, that the middle one was facing the Lifnei Hashem, it shows that the middle is of special significance. Therefore, in the reading of the Torah, the second aliyah, who is the middle of the three aliyos, that would be given 4 psukim to read, indicating this idea of the middle being of greatest significance. As we go on in the Gemara, we encounter a new geometric form. This is what we call the crown marking. It surrounds the expression Bishlama, and on the outside margin under our Mivneh heading, we've included Bishlama, and you can see Lemandom or Mizrach Umarov. At first, the Gemara will think that the Mizrach Marov approach works more easily, and then on the next Omed, on Sadi Tes, Omed Aleph, we will see a reversed approach, and hence the marking is flipped over, where it will say Bishlamo lemadomar mitzafon lidorom. So the Gemara here, taking into consideration the 10 replica shulchanos plus the Moshe Rabbeinu shulchan, the Gemara says Bishlamo lemadomar mizrach umarov, according to the approach that the shulchanos were set up east-west. Hainu dahavu yasivi asoro be'esrim. I can I can easily understand how you have a row of, we're talking now about a row of 10 shulchanos, and they have room to be set up. Each shulchan was 2 amos in length. We mentioned that the shulchanos are placed in the middle, if you will, the middle third of the Heichal Kodesh HaKadoshim setup. Since the Heichal Kodesh HaKadoshim setup was really measured 60 by 20, the middle third of that would measure 20 by 20, 60 being divided into 3 parts, giving you 20 by 20. If you have 10 shulchanos, you can set them up in a row, each shulchan being 2 amos, 2 times 10, so you would have the 10 shulchanos sitting in an area measuring 20 amos of length. Again, we're going east to west, so you'll be able to fit the 10 shulchanos east to west. Elo lemandomar tzofon v'dorom. But according to the opinion that the shulchanos length were set up north-south, we have a little star and a note here, Ayin Tarshim. We've included a little diagram on the inside margin. If you notice where there's a double star on the inside margin, we're referring specifically to that diagram. You see an illustration of an area measuring 20 by 20. This is the middle third. This corresponds to the diagram just above where we indicated where the middle third is reserved for these extra shulchanos. In this diagram, we've drawn 10 shulchanos. Each shulchan's length is 2 amos. In effect, what you'll have 10 shulchanos running clear across the entire width of the Heichal. If that's the way you think things are going to be set up, we have a series of questions here, 4 questions that will be hard to understand according to this setup. So the Gemara says, well, according to the Man d'Omar that it's running Tzofon v'Dorom, question 1. Yud b'chof heichi havu yasvi yud is eser b'esrim, 10 in 20. How do you have 10 shulchanos that total 20 amos sitting in an area that is a total of 20? In other words, 20 does not sit inside of 20. If you ever try to take, let us say, 2 cartons of exactly the same size and try to fit one in the other, they don't fit one in the other. Exact size things don't fit one in the other. So if the shulchanos account for 20 amos, they can't fit into an area that measures a total of 20 amos. That is one problem. If you had positioned them running east to west, so you don't have walls blocking them, blocking the tables. Here you've got a wall on the north and a wall on the south. How in the world can you fit 10 shulchanos in an area of 20 amos when the shulchanos measure 20 amos with walls serving as boundaries of north and south sides? Second question, Vesu Kohanim Hechi Havu Aili. How do the Kohanim get in to the? How do they get in there? If they have to carry the breads and place them on the table, you need to have them getting in, and they're totally blocked from getting in. The Rashi explains. Additionally to the Kohanim that change the breads on Shabbos, there's also the problem of the Kohen Gadol getting into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur. How do they pass through when it's totally blocked off? A further question, Vesu Motsinu Hey Shulchanos Badorom. We mentioned before, based on the Pasuk, that the Shulchanos are supposed to be in the Tzofon. According to this diagram, you've got 5 Shulchanos 5 to 10 are in the south. Vesu, Shulchan de Moshe, Heicha Monach Lei. Where are you going to place the Shulchan of Moshe? We before described the Shulchanos being to the right and to the left of the Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan. Where, if you have them to the right and left of the Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan, where is his table going to be placed in this setup? Well, on the regarding the last point that regarding the issue of the Shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu, even according to the Man d'Omar, the opinion that said east to west, which you said was okay, the Shulchan of Moshe will present a problem. Ulitameich, according to you, who think that the problem is only according to the north-south approach, Leman d'Omar Mizrach u'Marov Nami Shulchan de Moshe Heicha Hava Monach Lei. According to the east-west approach, the question will be, where was the Shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu to be positioned? This is a problem, because if you have a row of tables running east-west, and in fact not 10 but 11 tables running east-west, you're going to end up having one of the tables completely located in the first third of the Heichal, and we said before that the first third of the Heichal is not supposed to have any of these kelim, any of these vessels located there. So the Gemara says Ela, and now this Ela in effect represents a response to solve all of the problems. Ela mi savris chad dora have. Who says that there was one row of 11 tables? Rather, trey ninhu. Rather, there were two rows of tables, five tables in each row. As far as the Moshe Rabbeinu table is concerned, the Moshe Rabbeinu table was in the middle, was between. Well, there will be much further detail regarding the exact positioning of the Moshe Rabbeinu table a bit later. But if we look in the Rashi at the bottom of the Omid, Betrei Dori Havu Yasvi, Chamisha Minayu, five of them, Rosh Hashelzu, Betzad Rosh Hashelzu, five lined up length to length, head to head, V'shel Moshe Etzlon Lefnehem, V'lo B'shurasan. The Moshe Rabbeinu was next to them, but not in the same row. V'shua cherishel chamisha etzel oisushel Moshe, v'lo b'shurasa. V'oisam chamisha roshushel zu, b'tzad roshushel zu. In order to appreciate this even more, we have the Gemara provides an illustration at the top of Tzadi Tes Omed Aleph. At the top of Tzadi Tes Amud Aleph, Bishlamo Lemando Omar, Tzofon Vidorom Shapir. Noticing the inverted crown marking, because at this point the Gemara feels that things will work out more smoothly according to the approach north-south. Of course, we're now dealing with the two-row setup, so that according to the north-south setup, things will work out. Elo leman de Omar Mizrach u'Marov, but according to the Mizrach u'Marov east-west setup with the two-row situation, we will run into a problem. And we will, as we continue in the Gemara, we want to also to note that there is a diagram that accompanies this in the outs in the inside margin in the upper corner of the page. Let us continue with the Gemara, keeping one finger on the diagram. Michti, Shulchan kamo moshuch min hakoisel. The Shulchan is drawn away from the wall, the in this case the northern wall, by how much? Shtei amos umechza. That's 2.5 amos. This shiur, this dimension of 2.5 amos, is the distance or the amount required for two people to walk side by side. We saw this before in the Oron Badim discussion. Here too, we have two people walking side by side. These are the Kohanim carrying the stacks of bread, the new Lechem Aponim, to be placed on the table. So they have to walk in along the, let's say, along the northern wall, and not bang into tables. So you need to have a space of 2.5 amos. The amo didei, and an amo for the shulchan's width. Ushte amos umechtso debeni beni, and another 2.5 amos between the shulchan and the Moshe Rabbeinu shulchan, which was in the middle. The amo of the amo didei of the shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ushte amos umechtso debeni beni, and another 2.5 amos between the Moshe Rabbeinu shulchan and the next row of tables. The amo didei, and the amo width of the next row of tables. If you count up all of these numbers, starting with the northern wall, we have 2.5, then 1, another 2.5, 1, 2.5, and 1. You will come out with 10.5 amos. Ishtakach, it comes out, deka'ochil shulchan palgo de'amso bedorom. You'll have a table, the row of tables, the we'll call it the southerly row of tables. Half an amo of shulchan is in the south. And we said before that the shulchanos must be in the north. So the Gemara answers, Mi savris shulchan de Moshe bahadayu hava Yosef? Who says that the shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu was between the two rows? Lo, de midli lei umonach lei umitziluhu lididhu purta. The shulchan of Moshe was positioned in such a way that it was higher than the rest. Let us point out that as you walked in from the eastern side to the west, there was a slope, a slight slope in the Beis HaMikdash. You were walking upwards. There was a slope upwards. So that if the Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan was placed most westerly, it was a bit higher. That's what midli means. In this answer, it was midli lay. Midli is, we'll say, higher. That of the Moshe Shulchan. And umitzi luhu. Mitzi means lower. The luhu, the other, the Shlomo Shulchanos. And this imagery is described by the Gemara as Kitalmid Hayoshev Lifnei Rabo, like a Talmud, a student sitting in front of his master. The master, the Rebbe, the rabbi would be sitting on a higher position and the students at a lower position. The imagery being that the replica tables were like students in front of the Moshe Rabbeinu table, which was positioned higher. There's an illustration in the Rashi, which maybe helps. In the halfway down the page, you can see the Rashi illustration, but what you see there clearly is that the Moshe Rabbeinu table was not placed between the two rows, thereby saving quite a few of those extra amos that we thought was the case when we raised the question. So with this, we understand how the 10 tables were set up in two rows, five each. The Moshe Rabbeinu table was positioned in front of them, kind of between them, but not literally between them. And with that, we conclude our shiur for today.